Chapter 26. 1520 hours. November 3rd, 2552. Military calendar. Captured Covenant destroyer Bloodied Spirit in slipstream space. Bloodied Spirit was on fire. The shot she'd taken from the Covenant frigate had hit an auxiliary plasma line, and fire streamed along the side in a crimson plume. The raging flames made repairs impossible. Fred couldn't find the controls to quench the broken line without shutting down the main plasma coil and dropping them out of slipspace, so he let it burn. Purple alloy melted and oozed through the aft quarters, consuming life support and several sensor nodes. Bloodied Spirit would last only a few more minutes, but it was, he hoped, all they'd need. Will smoothed his hands over the nav console. "Shifting to normal space in 3 seconds," he said. 2, 1, now. Stars winked on in the central viewer. Fred moved perspective alongside Bloodied Spirit, revealing smoldering holes in her side, bare conduits spewing plasma, and in places, gapping cavities 2 decks deep. A planet rotated into view. Will's jump had been uncannily accurate. They were only 100,000 kilometers from the world known as Onyx, a jewel of blue and white against the black.
"Looks habitable," Fred remarked.
"Reading water vapor, oxygen, and nitrogen," Linda said.
"Other ships?" Fred asked. "Scan the region."
Linda bent over the Covenant sensors. "No plasma signatures. No silhouettes on radar," she said. "They didn't follow us."
"Yet," Will added.
"I'll take the lucky break," Fred told him,
"and figure out why we got it later."
Fred couldn't relax, though. Leading Blue Team and the responsibility to captain this ship was his alone. He had been trained in rudimentary astrogation and ship-to-ship tactics, but it wasn't enough. It was like trying to perform brain surgery with only a basic aid kit. The sooner he got groundside where he could fight on his own terms, the better off they'd all be. He wasn't sure what the Covenant were doing fighting amongst themselves and stealing human nukes, but whatever it was, he hoped it kept them busy. The Covenant captain who'd seen them wasn't going to let a human-crewed Covenant ship slip off his radar for too long.
"Groundside signals," Linda said. Lines wavered in a window floating off her console. "UNSC E-band."
"Put it on audio," Fred said.
There was a hiss, a pop, and it went dead. The hiss repeated, and then again fell silent.
"That's a looped signal," Linda said. "Hang on. Slowing it down by a factor of 300.
A series of beeps resolved from the noise.
"Slow it down more," Will told her.
3 longer beeps pinged, then 3 shorter ones, and 3 longer. After a moment, this repeated.
"Not SOS," Linda declared. "It's OSO.
"Signal source?" Fred asked.
Linda returned to the console. "Multiple point sources," she said. "Cycling at random. Someone doesn't want to get triangulated."
"If SOS is a distress call," Will said, "then what's OSO supposed to be? A warning? Why would Dr. Halsey send a distress call and then warn us away?"
"The message repeats every 12 seconds, Linda said. 27 OSO units, a pause of 2 seconds, and then another 118 units.
27 by 118,
Fred considered.
"Latitude and longitude?"
"Which direction?" Will asked.
"North or south, east or west? Any matches of those permutations to the random signal sources?"
He moved closer to Linda's station.
"There," she said.
27 degrees north, 118 east.
Fred told them. "Set course to those coordinates. Give us a nice and easy deorbital burn. We've got to..."
"Hang on," Linda said. "Picking up contacts. Wait. Recalibrating." Her hand flicked over the control surfaces. "Multiple silhouettes in high orbit. The system missed them. It's not set up to detect something so small. Objects are 3 meters long on the central viewer."
Fred moved to the holographic display.
Floating before him was a simple structure. 3 cylindrical booms sat parallel to one another. From the end on view, they formed an equilateral triangle. In the center of this sat a sphere, 1/4 meter in diameter. The booms were a brushed matte silver metal. The resolution was just good enough to see a swirled pattern etched onto the alloy. The sphere glowed dull red, as if it were heated from within. Nothing connected the sphere to the associated rods. There were no shimmering energy fields either.
A bomb? Fred asked. Dr. Halsey's new technology?
No radiologicals detected, Linda reported.
Satellites?
Will offered. I'm reading 2,423 of these objects in orbit, Linda said. That's overkill for a comm network.
Wait, they're breaking orbit.
With a flick of her hand, she shifted perspective in the central tank, and Onyx drifted in the center.
Bloodied Spirit was a glowing purple dash among the stars.
Image enhancement online, she said. A haze of red dots swarmed in the black of space and slowly drifted toward them.
Shields! Fred barked at Will.
Responding. Full strength confirmed. Will rechecked the alien controls.
No error, he said. They're up this time.
If those aren't nukes, Fred told them,
there's no way something that small can penetrate Covenant shields.
Fred watched the holographic viewer as the hostiles approached. It was like watching a tide come in. And Fred remembered one of Deja's childhood lessons, jellyfish swarming the tide lines on an Australian beach. One sting from the tiny invertebrates caused tissue necrosis and paralysis. 100 was overkill lethal.
Back us off, Will, he ordered.
Something's happening, Linda said. The image in the viewer zoomed in on a cluster of the spacecraft. 7 of them moved into a line. The view pulled back and revealed other identical formations. 7 of these lines stacked into an elongated triangle, and the spheres within the 49 craft pattern glowed red hot.
Hard to port,
Fred cried.
Emergency power to shields.
The deck tilted.
Answering hard to port,
Will cried. A blast of golden light overwhelmed the image in the viewer. The frame of bloodied spirit resounded like it had been struck with a hammer. The artificial gravity failed, and Fred gripped the railing.
Starboard side hit, Will said. Shields destroyed.
Fred moved his hand over his console, and bloodied spirit appeared on the viewer. A gaping crater of blue hull armor smoldered white hot. Crystalline electronics crackled, and severed plasma lines spewed fire. As the ship turned, Fred saw the hole was 5 decks across and had punched clean through to the port side.
Main plasma pressure nil, Will reported. Cycling to fuel cells. Slipspace capacitors holding charge. We have enough power to jump.
Linda looked to Will and then to Fred and nodded. Fred watched as more alien drones crystallized into triangular lattices. Individually, they were no match for even a Covenant single ship. Combined, they packed enough punch to atomize bloodied spirit.
We're not leaving, Fred muttered. We're moving closer.
Will, get me a jump solution on coordinates to 27 degrees north latitude, 118 east longitude, elevation 15,000 meters.
On it, Will said, and he stared at the Covenant math as it streamed over his console.
Linda, go evasive, Fred ordered.
Her hand melted into the holographic controls, and bloodied spirit pitched forward, accelerating, which made the hull ping with stress. The tiny alien ships easily tracked their motion, surrounding them. Covenant ships could perform pinpoint accurate slipspace jumps, but could the weakened hull of bloodied spirit survive an instantaneous change of pressure from 0 to over 1 kilogram per square centimeter? And that was just accounting for the atmosphere. Their velocity in air would exert tremendous forces on the ship's leading edges.
Course plotted, Will announced. Only a second order approximation, but the jump system is accepting the numbers. I'll have higher order terms in a minute.
Belay that, Fred ordered.
Linda, give me all the power to the engines. Slave Will's jump coordinates through the nav system and give us a 30-second countdown.
Done, she said.
Let's move, Blue Team, Fred told them. We're abandoning ship.
It was a perfect day on the jungle-swathed peninsula. The sky was crystal cobalt, dappled with cotton-ball alto-cumulus clouds. Insect buzz and bird caw abruptly ceased, and 100 red-winged macaws took flight as the world exploded over their heads. A 15-kilometer-long smear of condensed water vapor marred the air, and from it, a fireball colored every cloud red. Bloodied spirit shot forth like a bullet. Sonic booms rippled off the destroyer's prow. Hexagonal armor plates fluttered and shed, revealing a skeletal frame. Static discharges arced from ship to clouds and back. Inside Bloodied Spirit, fires raged stem to stern and every deck glowed hot, trailing flames and an oily black smoke. The ship rolled, and the nose began to shudder until the entire length of the vessel wobbled. The once deadly Covenant ship was no more than a ballistic mass, a meteor, with only one possible trajectory, a parabola that intersected the planet's surface. A dozen drones punched through the clouds and left swirling vortices, and then 100 more drones appeared, giving chase. As the destroyer dropped to 100 meters, the heat ignited the jungle canopy, leaving a blistering path in its wake. Debris from the disintegrating vessel rained into the trees, crushing them to splinters. The drones closed and fired. As Bloodied Spirit turned, and its shuttle bay presented groundwork, what appeared to be another chunk of the ship fell, spinning until it plummeted below the canopy, and then the dropship's engines flared, and it righted. The tiny ship's momentum smashed it through 3 banyan trees before it touched ground and scraped to a full stop. 3 figures eased from the tuning fork-shaped vessel and quickly melted into the surrounding jungle. Fred watched pieces of Bloodied Spirit fall to the earth. The ground under him shook from the impacts. Drones accelerated after the lost destroyer, so many that they blackened the sky. A flash cut through the jungle, casting long, hard shadows. A wave of pressure shot rock, splinters, and smoldering vegetation hurling over his head, igniting leaf and wood and flattening brush and trees. Bloodied Spirit had landed. A kilometer to the north, a wall of plasma-fueled fire shot skyward, and the clouds overhead parted. Fred flicked his green status to his teammates. Linda's status light burned green, but Will's remained dark a moment, and then winked amber. There was a flutter on Fred's motion detector. 2 o'clock, and then nothing. Another malfunction? Linda's light shifted to amber as well. No, real trouble. Fred sighted down his assault rifle and covered the area. Linda would soon be in position to snipe. Will would draw whatever was there out into the open. Had those drones discovered them so quickly? Or had the Covenant managed to track them here after all? On his heads-up display, the secure single-beam comm system activated. His helmet speaker hissed with static. And then, a voice as familiar as his own spoke. Kelly whispered, "Ali Ali Oxenfree."